Shalom Aleichem, on behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to take 10 for Talmud. Baba Basra Tzadi Beis, Baba Basra 92a, pagination is 183. We're starting the 6th perek of Baba Basra from the top of the page, the new Mishnah. Hamocher Peres Lachaveru, a person sold produce to his friend, Vizaron, and that buyer planted it, Velotzamchu. It didn't sprout forth. Now, we have a problem here because the grain that was sold was faulty. It was flawed. Obviously, if there were other factors, bad weather conditions, bad storage of the grain after the sale, if there are other reasons that it didn't sprout forth, so we could attribute the flaw to that. But if everything was done the way farmers deal with grain and it didn't sprout forth, so then it's attributable to flawed grain that was sold. Is the buyer entitled to a refund? Why not? Why not would be because perhaps it was never sold for planting. Perhaps it was sold to be ground into flour or to be eaten as is. Who says it was meant to be planted? So what if it didn't grow? What relevance does that have on the sale? Says the Mishnah, Afilu zera pishton, even in the case of flax seed, that most flax seed is used for planting because it produces clothing. And some people eat the flax seed. Even in the case of flax seed, where only a minority of people are eating it, Eina chaya ba'achra yusan, the seller is not responsible to replace it, to offer the refund, because there are people who eat it, and the fact that it didn't sprout is not relevant on the transaction. We're talking in a case where the person did not say, I'm buying it in order to plant it, but rather it was just bought on the open market. And even if a minority eat it, that would be enough for the seller to claim, I sold it to you. I sold you a product. It has a good use. I don't know what you want it for. And that would have been enough. The principle here being, Ein holchem b'mamon achar harov. You can't go after majority by financial matters. If a person wants to extract money, wants to extract a refund from the seller, he has to have better proof than just, well, most people use it in a certain way. In Shulchan Aruch, we point out, Simen Resh Lamed Beis Chaf Aleph, certainly if it's wheat or barley, that plenty of people, the majority of people, use it for food. On the open market of sales, he's not going to be responsible to replace it because he could say, I sold it to you for eating. The continuation of the Mishnah makes this even more clear. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, Zirone gina, if you have seeds of the garden, she'ena ne'echolim, the seeds themselves are not eaten. They're planted. They're planted maybe for flowers, maybe for fruit. But they're planted. That's what we do with these seeds. Chayev ba'achra yusan, he would indeed have to replace or refund the sale. There's something wrong with the sale. He did not supply the product that was understood to be purchased. This type of example, like flax, where some people buy it one way, some people buy it the other way, unless he articulated why he's buying it, the buyer is going to be in the disadvantaged position, because the sale is a good sale. You want to prove it's not a good sale. You have to prove it. Majority is not enough to be considered proven. Is a topic that comes up in a number of cases in the Gemara, among them right here. Itmar, we learned. Hamocha shor lachaveru. A person sells an ox to his friend. V'nimtza nagchen, it turns out to be a gorer. It's a violent ox. It can't be kept around. It causes the owner more heartache than it's worth to use it for plowing. And instead, it has to be slaughtered for meat. An animal that's used for plowing is used for many years. It's worth a lot. If it's a good animal for plowing, on the market, that's worth a lot. An animal that's being slaughtered for meat is not worth as much. Rav Amar Areza Mekachtos. Rav says that's a Mekachtos. Something went wrong in the sale. Ushmuel Amar Yochal Lomar L'Lashchita Mechartiv Loch. Shmuel says, you're allowed to say, I sold it to you for shchita, for slaughter purposes. So what if it's a gorer? Go take it to the shochet, and he'll get rid of your problem. And the Gemara indicates that if we could bring proof from some other angle, indeed the buyer would have recourse. The problem here is, as we'll see, none of these proofs are going to prove anything. None of these possibilities are going to prove anything, and we're left merely with most people buy it in a certain way, but few people are buying in the other way, and therefore it's an open market unless you explained your use. The Gemara says, "Velechsi, let's see, igavra dezava lenechsasa. If it's a person who buys it for meat, he's a butcher, lenechsasa, then we could assume he bought it for meat. Ilaraja, laraja. If he's a farmer, he needed it for plowing. Seems from the Gemara that the two people, buyer and seller, knowing each other and having prior transactions or knowledge of each other would be sufficient to prove why he was buying it. However, the Gemara answers, Begava dezaven lahachi ulahachi. We're dealing with a person who buys it for both purposes. He's a multifaceted person. He slaughters animals. He uses animals on his farm. So there's no proof. What about the amount of money that was paid? Because, as we mentioned, an animal for plowing is typically a much higher price than an animal for meat. Answers the Gemara. It happens right now, the money for meat is very high, and it's the same as the price for an animal used for plowing, and therefore there is no indication. Ihochi asks the Gemara, "Lemay nafkamina? If that's true, then what's the difference? If he doesn't want the animal because it gores, and he wanted for farming, so let him sell it for meat, and he'll get his money. Why is he making such a fuss over here?" And the Gemara answers, Nafka mina latircha. The question is, who has to put in the energy to get the animal sold and recoup the money? If he can void the transaction, he can simply dump it on the seller's doorstep and hand him the rope and say, refund, it's yours, I don't want it. If the sale does go through, he certainly will get his money according to the current prices, etc. Or at the very least, prices that are so similar that it's no longer ona'a would perhaps be sufficient to make the sale valid. But the bottom line is he can get his money back, so to speak, but it wouldn't be tircha free. He would have to work to make that happen. And he doesn't want to, and that's why he wants to simply void the sale and be done with it. We mentioned that the reason that we do not say Hamotze Mechaveru Olav Haraya, let's actually finish on Amud Beis, finish the thought. Rav Omar on the fourth line, Hareza Mekachtos Basaruba Azlinan. Rav says we follow majority, and therefore you could void the sale because most people are buying for plowing. Shmuel Amar ki azlin and basaruba bi isura, we only follow majority by prohibitions. B'mamona lo, but by financial matters we do not follow majority. The Gra, for example, explaining this, Reish Lamed Beis, if Katan Lamed Aleph writes, the reason is because instead there's a cheskas mamona, there's a chazaka of who's holding his own money, gets to keep his own money, unless you can prove to extract money from him. Hamotza mechaver olav araya, famous principle, whoever wants to take money from someone else has to prove it. So even though you have a chazaka, a working assumption, that majority people work for plowing, but that's not enough as long as there's a minority that are buying for meat that would be relevant to this particular sale. The comment of the Gra is upon the words of the Ramah in Sif Chaf Aleph, who says, Im lo nasan adayin hamaos, if the buyer has not yet given the money, yesh omrim, it could be that it's totally different. Deyachal alokeach lo malizriya kanisi, he could claim that I bought these seeds, in the case of the seeds, for planting, and they didn't sprout. In other words, whatever claim the buyer is making, if he still has the money, he's in a position to make that claim. And that would be following this logic that the only reason we reject majority is because the seller is already in possession of the money. In our times, this concern or consideration becomes more heightened because we have all kinds of ways of doing transactions. A check, for example, what happens if he paid with a check? Is he still in a position to say, you didn't withdraw the money from my bank account yet, so I'm still the muhsuk, and therefore I can claim I bought it for planting, or I bought it for plowing, and this doesn't work, and I'm voiding the sale. Similarly, we would have the question in the case of a credit card, but it's even more heightened in the case of credit card, where the credit card company has already disbursed the money into the seller's account. But the buyer says, but I didn't pay yet. But that's your deal with the credit card company. That has nothing to do with me. They already paid me for the transaction on your behalf. I already have the money. If you want to extract the money from me, you would have to prove that. And that's where this rov bimamona, majority in financial cases, has its weakness, because you're looking to take money away from the seller. Yasher koach, thank you for joining.